You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And yes, we're talking some fantasy football on the program. The Tony Cincotta will join me. We'll bust it up DFS style as we've got the Dolphins and the Bengals on tap this evening. A football game that not a lot of people are expecting fireworks from. I don't think anybody thinks it's going to be a track meet, yet these Thursday games are sneaky. They're sneaky. You know, they sort of lull you into believing that nothing's going to happen, and then bam, there's a fantasy palooza that goes on. We're going to break down the numbers. There might be a couple of players on DraftKings. Now, I'm stuck with Jeremy Hill tonight. I have him on a league team, but I also have him in the Monday and the Thursday contest. I wish I had A.J. Green right now, but A.J. Green was $8,500 and Jeremy Hill was $4,100. Hopefully, Jeremy Hill does what he always does, like rush for 48 yards and get two touchdowns, all right? Or at least one touchdown. So we're going to break it down with the Tony Cincotta. The Teddy Covers will join me straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Teddy, we're going to run the gauntlet with Teddy. We got an NFL game on tap tonight, but my money will be more on the college games tonight, the Houston Cougars. No one's talking about Houston right now because of Louisville, but the Houston Cougars are still lurking, and they get Louisville. Best case scenario for the Cougars is Louisville beat Clemson, and then there's another game of the century later in the year. Houston are sort of on the outside right now, but they're right there, man. Their schedule is a little bit soft, though, from here on out. But UConn beat them last year. And, revenge is a bitch. Best, serve cold. So I think UConn is going to be they're going to be freezing tonight because Houston's going to bring it, man. You know, Houston owe them. It's on national television. Howard Bender. Bender. Yeah. How do you not like a dude named Bender? Bender from Futurama, one of my favorite all-time characters. And it's crazy because I love The Simpsons, and I'm a big Futurama guy as well, but I only recently just saw the crossover show, from years ago. Or I saw it then, and I was baked, and I don't remember. So I only really recently saw it, and freaking hilarious. When Bender's in the future, he gets stuck alone. He's like, oh, no, I'm stuck here alone in Springfield all by myself. And then he's like thinking, with every horse result of every race ever. And he goes right to the track and he goes back into his memory banks and he's like, oh, there's a horse named Bender in this race. And he's like, oh, my database tells me that the horse dies in the race. He bets on Bender anyways. Turns out Bender was the one that killed him. Great little sequence for the gamblers out there. Simpsons have a couple of good little gambling references over the years. So Bender will join us. All right, ton of stuff to get to, man. Major League Baseball playoffs. Stuff's getting crazy, man, right now. All kinds of rain delays going on this afternoon. And they're running out of racetrack, man. They got to get these games in. So we'll keep our eye on what's going on. We'll hit some baseball maybe tomorrow on the program. But I'm in a football frame of mind tonight. That's one of the reasons why we want to talk about the World Cup of Hockey. It's the World Cup of Hockey concludes tonight. That is if Canada wins. So in other words, the World Cup of Hockey concludes tonight. We should say there's a 9-1 chance as Canada -900. A lot of drama with the World Cup of Hockey. Now I got to be honest with you. My bar was set pretty low. Real low. How low can a camera go? Like lower? Like the bar was sort of set like this. And then when the under-23 team played, whoa, the bar went way up. It was like, whoa, this doesn't suck. And then the under-23 team left, and it's like Fred Flintstone with Mr. Slate that time. It started shrinking, 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 shrinking. The interest level of this tournament has shrunk, all right? Shrunk. Tickets for the semifinals are going for $6. You can't eat at McDonald's for $6. You can't eat at McDonald's for $6. Now, I told you guys before this tournament started that I was insulted that they're calling it a World Cup. And that's besides the point. But you know what the biggest crime of this tournament has been? The fact that it's boring as hell. The fact that it's boring as hell. The fact that the other night I tuned into the World Cup of Hockey Championship games and I got got bored after 30 seconds and I had money on it. I was like, whatever, I'll win, but I'm not watching this. I ended up watching baseball, which is really exciting, all right? You know, Gary Bettman's had a lot of dumb ideas over the years, but this ranks right up there with all of them. A threat to the Olympic Committee. Ooh, the Olympics are scared. The NHL players don't want to play. You know what's comical about this is they actually ran commercials on television for like months leading up to this. They had thousands of people in like the square outside the arena, and their vision was there's going to be thousands of people outside, and it's the World Cup, and people are going to be waving flags, and everybody cares. And what do they end up with? I think there was like six people. There might have been 12. Like, there were more cameramen than there were people. There were more people in the commercial than there was real life. I believe the joke was standing room only. Standing room only outside the arena, as in like, hey, yeah, you can stand wherever the hell you want to stand. Look, it's a lot of people there, huh? it's a lot of people. Like, yeah, this is what it's come to right now. And I know the Canadian media are going to tell you what a huge success it was. Yeah, it's a success if you're a hockey fan and you want to go see a game for $6. You know, tonight's game, hey, tonight they're going to be handing the trophy out. Tonight's game tickets, as of right now, going for $50 on StubHub. It'll be about $25 in a couple of hours. You'll be able to get in for $15. Now, this is coming from someone whose grandfather played for Team Canada, all right? I'm as patriotic as it comes when it comes to international hockey. For real tournaments. This is not a real tournament. This is actually not even as intense as an All-Star game. Like, it's actually that freaking bad. And you know who I blame besides Bettman? Team Canada. You guys are like the U.S. dream team, the Olympic basketball team. That is if they decided to play like wusses with a P and just dribble the ball and milk the shot clock. Canada has like 22 times more talent than any team in the world, yet they play like pansies. And I know it's going to upset everyone right now, but why the hell are they dumping and chasing? You think kids grow up in the driveway dreaming about, oh, maybe I can be the kid that dumps it into the corner? No, it's about scoring goals. You got more talent than everybody. You're playing a bunch of dudes that have been thrown together that have played for 2 weeks, and you guys play a trap. La-di-da-da-freaking-da. Yeah, you own the game. You know what? You ain't growing the game. Gary Bettman's had a lot of dumb ideas. Don't worry, this one won't be the last. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm always fired up for Thursday's shows, man, because we got football. Football's back. And I'm fired up for some college football tonight. It's funny because both the games, there's actually been line movement on the underdogs, which I like because I like the favorites tonight. I'm Johnny Public tonight, guys, and we'll break this down in a couple of minutes. But I think there's better betting spots tonight. I like the college game. This NFL game, I'm not going to say it scares me, but I'm going to pull a Teddy. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not in a rush to run to the window on this one. But speaking of running to the windows, I thought I'd been to every sports book in Las Vegas. I thought I've stayed everywhere, from the five stars to the Motel 6 on Tropicana. But I've never been to Ted's Sportsbook and Casino before. We sent it to Las Vegas, Nevada. Teddy Covers. What's up, Teddy?
Marenzi, what's a good word today, my friend?
Hey, looking good, Teddy. Looking good. Love the setup.
Yeah, it's just a backdrop, man. It's a cool banner. Alf Mosqueda photo of the LVH Superbook that I turned into. Instead of looking at a wall, I'm going to look at something cool behind
it. Yeah, no. Looks great. Looks great, Teddy. All right, so let's jump in right in, Teddy, so we can get to as many games as possible. Let's start off with the college board tonight. UConn and Houston. Revenge spot. Of course, Houston only lost one game last year. They lost to the UConn Huskies, but Greg Ward did not play in this football game. Now, I would imagine, Teddy, that, you know, they would want revenge even if this game was buried on the Saturday afternoon docket with 72 other games. That they would still want this game. But it's on national television on Fox Sports 1. Not to mention Houston, they're not getting the same sort of, you know, the same sort of adoration from the media that Louisville is right now. You know, Houston, they want revenge, and it helps them to win 66-3 tonight if they can. What's your take on this game tonight?
Well, that's the whole story with the Cougars. I mean, they're not a team that I'm going to rush to stand in front of because margins matter for the Houston Cougars. This is a team that wants to be in the college football playoff, and there's a reasonable chance that they could win out and get shut out of the college football playoff. So what they have to do is impress voters. What they have to do is impress pollsters. And what are pollsters and voters impressed by? You know what they're impressed by. Final scores, margins. So there's legitimate motivation for the Cougars to run this up as much as they possible. And make no mistake about it, Houston has elite level talent on both sides of the football. That being said, the whole revenge thing, Houston could win this game by 3 touchdowns. And they got their revenge. They're happy. They ran the beat them by 3 TDs. You understand? It's not that they have to win by 11 touchdowns to get their revenge.
But like you said, Teddy, we in the media and the pollsters, winning by 21 points, that's not going to cut it, right? That's a negative takeaway from the game. Because let's be honest.
It's a neutral. It's a neutral takeaway. If they win by 3, it's a negative. If they win by 50, it's a positive. If they win by 21, it's not that much difference between 21, 28 when you look at it at the end of the year.
Yeah, I know. I think they do just blast them, though. The key is, though, you know, what's your quick take on UConn as a football team? Can they score enough to cover here?
No.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah. The UConn offense is, let's be generous with it. It's a work in progress. They're a solid defensive team.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with laying 4 touchdowns against a solid defensive team is that, you know, even if UConn is held to, 7 points in this game, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Cougars are going to cover. But UConn's defense is good enough, especially compared to the Texas State defense that Houston just picked apart last week, that it makes me a little bit reluctant to lay this type of price. I can only play the favorite here, that being said.
Last thing on this game, it's rare, Teddy, isn't it, that we see a team laying 4 touchdowns, yet the total is only 49.5.
Well, that speaks volumes about the UConn Huskies offense and how good that Cougars defense is. Remember, bowl game last year, they shut down Florida State, they shut down Oklahoma, let alone second-tier offenses just aren't getting anything against that stock unit.
No, you're right. It's almost like I thought it was a typo. I had to do like double and triple click to make sure that Houston are only giving up 37 yards a game on the ground. Should be noted, they're killing teams most of the time, but nevertheless, 37 yards is 37 yards. All right, similar situation tonight, Teddy, as far as the total is concerned. We got Kansas and Texas Tech. Texas Tech is scoring 61 points a game. They haven't scored less than 55 in the 3 games that they played. You and I have talked about it before, in which, defense is non-existent with this Red Raider team, but they're playing one of the teams in the country. Similar situation. How much can they score? I almost think an elite high school. I think Bishop Gorman could probably score 21 on Texas Tech, though. So, does Texas Tech get 21? Or, sorry, Kansas gets 20, 21 in that era. What about Texas Tech? I think Texas Tech roll them tonight.
I mean, if this game was played on Saturday, we wouldn't even be talking about it. It's not a great matchup. And there are two teams that I don't want any part of in these roles. I cannot lay 4 touchdowns with a team that can't get a stop. And Texas Tech has allowed 42 points or more 16 times their last 26 games. All right. Just week after week. No stops. Kansas hung tough with them last year. It was a 10-point game last year between these two teams. So it's really hard for me to get to the betting window in this price range with a team like Texas Tech because up 5 touchdowns at the end, I don't trust them to get a stop. I really don't. At the same time, when Kansas gets blown out at home by Ohio and then they go to Memphis the following week and that game's over in the first quarter, just done. It's going to take a long, long time for David Beatty to clean up the mess that Charlie Weiss left behind.
If you had to, would you prefer, and you don't like it, you're just saying, but would you prefer the 70? What do you think is a safer play? Taking the 79, going with the over, or laying the points?
No, none of the above. I mean, I'm not going to have a dime. I'm not going to have a penny on this game.
But you can't. You can't. There's no way.
Like, I'm allowed to pass. I can say
no. No, but you're allowed to pass. No, without a doubt. Like you said, if this game is on Saturday, we're not talking about it. But you know, there's D-Gens. I'm hosting a TV show. I got to get picks for the TV game. But you know, people are going to be betting the game. But you know, Texas, Kansas should be enough to score enough here to get this game to go over the number, Teddy.
I mean, I guess if I had to play it, I'd probably take Kansas plus the points.
Right. So
I can't lay four touchdowns with a team that can't get stops. End of story.
Yeah, it's not often Kansas on national television, actually, is it?
No, exactly. So you would expect Kansas to play for four quarters because they're on national TV. That being said, if it's 42 to nothing at halftime, you know, the Jayhawks may you know, duck their head in the sand. I'm not convinced they come out for the second half.
All right, so let's talk about two quality football teams right now. People are down on the Pac-12. They were on the outside looking in as far as the playoff was concerned. People you better prove it to us. You know, you better show us something that, you know, we're going to get in. Now, I know the Washington Huskies, Teddy, you're on the coast. How trendy are they out there? Because, you know, I'm reading they go from, you know, 30 to 1 to 15 to 1 to 12 to 1 to 8 to 1. Like, are people legitimately on the West Coast buying in that the Huskies are going to the playoffs?
This game is the ultimate, like, insider-outsider game. Your classic general public guy. Oh, Stanford. You know, Stanford wins every year. They've been winning 11, 12 games year in, year out. Perennial top five team, top 10 team throughout the David Shaw era. Oh, my God. How could Stanford be dogs in this game? When you talk to the guys in Vegas, and obviously living in Vegas, I talk to guys in Vegas all the time. This is no surprise that Washington's favored. It's no surprise Washington's getting money. It's no surprise that Washington is off to a great start this season. Last year in November, I made a big circle on my notes saying, Washington Huskies 2016, watch out for this team. And I wasn't the only one, unfortunately. The markets have been on Washington from day one this year. The wise guys love this team. And the sharp money has come in on Washington start to finish. I mean, it's been nothing but Huskies money. This is legit sharp square divide game. The recreational players like the underdog. The sharp money is on the favorite.
Almost reminds me of Florida-Tennessee last week, Teddy. Similar situation in which I know a lot of, except it was different in which a lot of the sharps were, I got to take Florida plus the points here, although they liked it better at 8. It ended up not mattering. But Stanford had beaten Washington 8 straight times, and sort of like Tennessee, and you know, Tennessee still has to prove more to me, but sort of like Tennessee needed to prove to America that, hey, we can win one of these games. You lose 8 times in a row to the Cardinals. Like you said, Teddy, Joe Sixpack out there expects Stanford to win this game. This will get their attention if Washington wins.
Yes, Washington's real. Washington is very real. That's all I'm going to do. I mean, they are loaded.
What about last week? What about last week? Arizona gave them all they can handle. One thing I noticed, mobile quarterback, that Dawkins kid, was fast as hell, man. He should be in the Olympics. He's running up and down the field. Ryan Burns ain't Dawkins. He ain't running up and down the field on them. And we saw last week, Teddy, the Stanford offense really struggled on the road.
It sure did. And look, I mean, we know what David Shaw does in these games. David Shaw plays not to lose. And he's done it so many different times in so many different big games. And of course, last week, you know, he played not to lose and the coin flipped in his favor in the fourth quarter. And Burns went on that drive. But prior to the game winning drive, he had, what, 13 to 27 for a buck 35? I don't trust his quarterback. If you can stop Christian McCaffrey, Stanford ain't scoring. Certainly not points in bunches. And Washington, they got NFL talent in the secondary. They got NFL talent on the defensive line. They're putting tons of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. They're loaded at running back. We have to love Jay. You know, they've got the quarterback edge with Jake Browning. I don't think out there in the diaspora, people recognize how good this Washington team is just yet. Friday night's their chance to show it.
I got to tell you, Teddy, I want to push you out of the way and step up to the window behind you and bet on Washington right now. You got me in. Not to mention Chris Peterson's won big football games before. This is why he was brought here.
Yeah, although my numbers show the Huskies 1-7 in the last 8 against Stanford. I think they had one win during that eight game span.
I thought it was eight. All right. You know what? I do count these. I always do a double count. I got no research team here, Teddy.
It's me and you both.
Huh? I know. So I do the double and triple take sometimes. I might have done. We are now. I'm going to check right after the show.
No. Leon, the next question. I'll check as we're talking.
Okay. Okay. So I wanted to get some NFL stuff, but quickly on the Ville and the Clemson game here tonight. Before we get to the NFL game tonight, Louisville and Clemson. Yeah, we've had a lot of guests. We're tiering lists like the Super Bowl, Teddy. We're asking everyone. So I've already broken this game down ad nauseum this week. So just sort of a quick lean, side total or opinion on the line. Most of our guests like Clemson. There's been one Louisville selection.
Washington won 17-13 in 2012.
Oh, they did. Hey, I missed that one. All right, my bad. 1-7.
Yes, exactly. When it comes to Louisville Clemson, it's a very hard choice for me. And at the current price, we're not going to only take Clemson. I don't think Clemson is not the team that we thought they were, because they haven't blown anyone off the field yet this season. I'm not worried about that. And now they're home dogs. And we're talking about a line that was, what, more than a touchdown in the preseason game of the year. And now they're home. I mean, it's from a line value standpoint, it's a priori. You can only look at the Clemson side here. That being said, there's a Wall Street expression. You know, you don't try to stand in front of the falling knife. You know, when a stock is plummeting or when a stock is going up, you don't try to stand in front of it until it stops. And here's Louisville. Okay, every week Louisville's taking money. Every week the money hasn't been enough. Every week Louisville's covered the spread. Every week they've covered the spread by margin. I'm not convinced that the markets have, even now, Louisville priced correctly, which makes me reluctant to take Clemson as a home dog. That being said, I'm confident there will be Clemson money on Saturday before kickoff. So if you like the home dog, I bet them sooner, not later.
Ted Savransky with us. All right, we got a couple of minutes here, Teddy. Let's go to a Panthers-Falcons game, and it will wrap up with tonight's NFL game. I'm going to make life easier for the guys that cut the video up and get it up on YouTube so we can just sort of, you know, leave it. We can chop that one off and have the weekend preview or whatever. Actually, no, we talked about the early game, so it doesn't really matter. So Dolphins-Bengals tonight. Dolphins-Bengals tonight. It's one of these deals, Teddy. I'm not in a hurry to lay 7.5 with the Bengals, and I don't trust Miami either. It's a weird game for me.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Thursday night games and the nuances of the team traveling on Thursday, one thing you don't want the inexperienced staff. And the Dolphins coaching staff, when it comes to Adam Gase, when it comes to their coordinators, everybody's new. Nobody's had these jobs before. They haven't gotten a team together and put them put a game plan together in 2 days and gone on the road and done that. So I can understand the reluctance to support Miami in this point spread range, and why we've seen this line move from 7 now to 7.5, and their eights popping up all over the place. That being said, all the injury news is favorable for Miami and not favorable for Cincinnati. You know, Jarvis Landry's supposed to go for the Dolphins. There was a big question mark whether he was going to be able to play this week. But for the Bengals, you know, Pac-Man Jones, a question mark. Sean Williams, a question mark. Darren Smith, a question mark. Drake Kirkpatrick's not going to play. That's four guys out of their secondary that are either banged up or out for this evening. Eifert's not going to go. There was some thought that he might be back, since he ranks number 29 in the NFL in red zone percentage. So if I had to play this one, I could only take Miami plus, despite my concerns about the coaching staff being able to get them ready for a Thursday night game on the road.
And finally, in closing, Teddy, you know, people overreact after week one. Then everyone always talks about what the percentage of teams that make the playoffs if you're 0-2. And then you get into, you know, to the week three. And here we are in the week four right now. And this Panther-Falcon game is a big game. It's a big game. You know, the Panthers should have beaten Denver. They did it. The missed field goal. Cam Newton got killed last week against Minnesota, sacked 8 times. And the Falcons are 2-1 right now. You had a division game in which the Falcons can make the Panthers 1-3, put a national spotlight and negativity on them, and become 3-1, or the Panthers can get back on track here. It's not a season-defining game, but it's a pretty big game as far as that division is concerned.
I'm just going to put it this way. When you look at who Atlanta played over the first 3 weeks of the season, they played Tampa Bay. Let's see. The Bucs have given up, what, 77 points in 2 games since? We saw a LA team that hadn't scored a touchdown run circles around that Tampa defense last week. And then Atlanta faces Oakland. Oakland's ranked dead last in the NFL in yards per play by a wide margin. And then they played New Orleans. The Saints right there with the Raiders at the very bottom of the NFL in terms of defensive statistics. So Atlanta's looked really good on offense so far, but they've done all three times against defenses that are weaker than average. Say what you want about the Panthers. Their defense isn't weaker than average. And Carolina off a loss. I got the Panthers ranked number one in the NFL. You know, I have them as my number one power rated team. And I look at this stuff all, you know, all day. I haven't seen anyone else with the Panthers number one. Everyone's throwing around Denver's number one, New England's number one. My numbers show Carolina at 1-2 as the best team in the NFL. And I don't trust Atlanta. So I think that tells you where I'm going in this game.
Looking great, Teddy. We encourage people to check out teddysportsmemo.com. One of the cover's experts. It's always a pleasure, Teddy. Thanks for the time.
Pleasure's mine, Gabe. Good to see you all looking sharp today, my friend.
Hey, I look forward to next week. Enjoy the Skype.
Me too, man.
Hey, good stuff. There's that Ted Savransky with us. All right, Howard Bender's going to join us. The Tony Cincata. We ain't done yet. Sound the alarms, man. We really got to start getting some props here and some effects and stuff. Like, we should have a siren going off right now. Come on, man. Somebody, like, let's go to the dollar store and get a siren for, because the next time, I'm telling you, I'll have to do this myself, actually. I don't even have a pen to write it down. Get siren for Howard Bender. Because, yeah, we got it. We're sounding the alarm, the fantasy alarm. Howard Bender, the fantasy alarm, host of a Fantasy Alarm podcast and host of Overtime, Sundays on Sirius. XM Fantasy Sports Radio steps up and in and joins us on Game Time Decisions. Welcome to the show, Howard. How you doing?
Doing real well, Gabe. Nice. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for joining us on short notice. So let's talk. Let's jump in and talk some NFL football. Let's talk about tonight's football game. I was just talking with Teddy Covers about this, about the Panthers and the Falcons. We're starting to get to the a point of the schedule right now where you got to start winning games. You know, you can't win a division right now, but you can lose it. And you got the Dolphins and the Bengals tonight. The loser's going to be 1-3 and not very happy after the football game. It's not a game that's capturing America's imagination, but it's a big game for both teams tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, listen, I think that Cincinnati's got a lot working in the right direction for them. I know Vontaze Burfict, he's coming back. I don't know if he's going to be playing all that many snaps today, but we'll have to kind of wait and see. For me, actually, the Dolphins, that's a dumpster fire in the making right there. Terrible backfield situation. Adam Gase has already said he's going to a four-man rotation back there. That's going to be a nightmare. The Bengals are going to key in very heavily on Jarvis Landry, take that target away from Ryan Tannehill. I do like Devontae Parker a little bit in this matchup here, but I think this is going to be all Bengals all night.
You know what, Howard? Coming into the year, when people talked about the getting rid of the probable, so they changed the injury reports. The Dolphins are the case in point to this, and I don't know if everyone's always really injured or Gase is just screwing around with this stuff. But from a fantasy standpoint, puts us in a tough spot every week. I own Devontae Parker on one of my teams, and I was hoping for big things. Yet it's like every day, questionable, misses practice. I know Landry, was limited in practice, but maybe that's just a thing with these two guys that we got to deal with every week.
Yeah, I think it's just a thing. I mean, we can all thank good old Bill Belichick for doing this to us with the injury report. He screwed around and played so many games over the years that the NFL was like, forget this. Let's just lose the probable. Everybody's questionable because Belichick was submitting a questionable report of 20 guys out of his 53-man roster. So when it comes down to these guys, I look at the practice reports. I see who was limited, who's putting in the full-time practice. You put in that full practice the day before, or you do fine during the morning walkthrough of like a Thursday night game. I'm totally fine with it. I don't think that there's anything to be concerned with either Jarvis Landry or Devontae Parker in their health.
You mentioned Burfict coming back. probably like one of the meanest, if not the meanest, SOB in the NFL. Like, you know, I watch a lot of college football. He was a nut job at Arizona State. Dennis Erickson was the coach. I remember like him throwing his helmet, and Erickson was like, dude, you got to chill out, man. Like, he's always been very intense, but this is what the Cincinnati Bengals need right now coming back. And, you know, it's a weird game tonight because the Bengals have given up yards in the air. I mean, we saw Trevor Siemian light him up last week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not saying that they're going to be, incapable of doing anything. My problem is that Ryan Tannehill, he's just not a very good quarterback. The guy doesn't throw the ball more than 20, 25 yards without it getting all wobbly and all offline. So while I think that the Bengals' pass defense isn't the most perfect out there, I do think that, you know, they're going to be able to contain a lot of what Landry does. If they run him out of the slot a lot, the Bengals do have a lot quicker linebackers there. They can match up. You don't want Landry being guarded by a linebacker, but you can pull that safety up and kind of give a little bit of help there. And I think that they can do a decent job containing. The Bengals, I mean, listen, as far as Burfict goes, yeah, that's definitely a fire that the Bengals do need. I know that they're trying to kind of hedge their bets with him right now, and this whole new penalty situation where two unsportsmanlike conducts get you booted from the game. But yeah, listen, there's a definite fire that this team needs on defense, and they really need to kind of light up Miami in a way that just shows, hey, we are here and we are ready to compete, and don't forget about the Bengals.
I tell you what, if Gus Bradley and the Jags don't win this game, I think he's going to be looking for a job along with the same team that prepared Donald Trump for the debate, Howard. You know, like, he's going to be on the unemployment. He's going to be on the unemployment line. You know, he's won 12 games. I did a thing earlier in the week. I don't want to pick on him, but we're getting to the point where it's enough is enough. And other coaches, London's been the defining game for coaches in the past. Coaches have been fired after the London stuff in the past. You know, you get the Colts coming in here. They didn't look very good, excuse me, against the Chargers, but I like the Colts here. What's your take on this game in London? Early morning game, real early for you on the coast.
Super early for me. I'm not very happy about getting up to watch football at 6:30 in the morning. However,
especially these teams. Like, that's the
thing.
Well,
I know, right? I mean,
Steelers and Patriots, you'd be like, wow, hey, man. Hey, it's great early football. And you know you got to watch it, so you're like, oh, God. It's the Jags and the Colts. Hey, listen, I'm a betting man, Howard. Last year it was the Lions and the Chiefs game, and I'm an idiot. I took the Lions. They lost like 45-10. I literally lost like $1,300, and I'm sitting there and I'm down $1,300. I wanted to cry, and like, I'm watching the pregame show like at noon, and I'm like, I'm already out. I've already lost all my money. Like, it's a train wreck. I had to run to the store and buy a credit card. I'm like, oh, like these Sunday morning games, man, if you don't win, they really suck.
They do. You're like, you find yourself giving blood for money just so that you can obviously pay off the rest. But, you know, I mean, listen, the only thing that I like about this game is that both secondaries suck. I mean, that's just the end of story right there. You got Andrew Luck and Blake Bortles. They both have good receiving guys there in Allen Robinson, T.Y. Hilton. And I think that this is one of those situations where, you know, listen, the Jags are getting 2.5 points in this game, which to me is a little surprising because the Jags have made this pilgrimage every single year for like the last four or five seasons. So, I mean, this should be nothing for Jacksonville. It shouldn't have much of an effect on them overall because they've done it so often. For the Colts, might be a little bit different of a story here. I don't really know how well Vontae Davis is going to do in the secondary over there. And with the number of injuries that they've had, I could really see Jacksonville actually taking advantage of Indianapolis's inexperience with this kind of a travel situation.
It's pretty clear that Davis isn't 100% and he came back early just because of the depleted bodies of the Colts. We saw last week pretty much no-name Charger wide receivers were torching him.
Yeah, mean, listen, it's a beautiful thing for fantasy owners. And if you, you know, if you're a DFS player, this is one of those times where, you know, you make that investment in a guy like Allen Robinson, because I don't see the Colts really doing that great of a job with the secondary. I think Marquise Lee will have a decent time there. I'm not so sure about Allen Hurns. I don't really like his usage this year. I don't think the Jags are totally sold on him. But I kind of think, I mean, with the fact that the Jags have no ground game, this is going to be passing for them. I mean, T.J. Yeldon is just a nightmare, whose yards per carry is like, I mean, it's just a disaster. And who knows what's going on with Chris Ivory? I mean, does he have syphilis? What is the deal with Chris Ivory? They won't tell us what the condition is, and yet hospitalization and some really weird symptoms here. So I think that the Jags are going to have to stick to the passing game, expose the slow linebackers, expose the poor secondary of the Colts, and that's going to force Andrew Luck into that kind of a situation there. And, you know, I don't necessarily know if I have the confidence in Philip Dorsett as I do with the supporting cast of the Jags.
Howard Bender, Fantasy Alarm. Check it out Sunday, Sirius XMF. Hey, Howard, great to get you on Game Time Decisions for the first time. Maybe, I'm surprised Ashley isn't buzzing around right now, trying to cause mayhem and chaos. She was like, be nice to Howard. He's a nice guy. Hey, don't be mean to him. Like, who do you think I am? Why would I be mean to the guest? Like, I don't know about
her. I just think she's catty and overprotective of me. That might be it. She's like, she's the little sister that I never got to pick on enough when I was growing up.
Hey, thanks for the time, Howard.
Gabe, thanks so much, man. Always a pleasure.
There's Howard Bender with us. All right, we go from Bender to Cincata. The Tony Cincata joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, let's bring in the Tony Cincata. Tony, I was thinking of you this morning, man. A couple of weeks ago, the bomb goes off on 23rd.
Yes.
Right near the studios. This morning I wake up, I see train crash, and I'm like, Hoboken? I'm like, oh my God, like, half the Fantasy Sports Network lives in Hoboken.
Yeah, Cardano got stuck a little long on the train. He was there a couple hours waiting to get through. Somehow I was on a train that avoided that situation there. So crazy situation. I actually was in Hoboken last night and had to go to that train station.
Really? So you were at that station? Man, like, so maybe timing is everything in life, isn't it? Huh? Like where you are and what time and all that, you know?
That's why I stick around you, Gabe. That's the safe place, around Gabe Morency. That's where I feel safe.
That's exactly right, man. Yeah, I'm like Mr. Magoo, man. I walk blindly right through trouble, Tony, and come out alive somehow. come out alive. Well, I'm glad to hear everyone's doing all right. So let's jump in tonight here. Dolphins and Bengals. You know, we talk about this, Tony. People never really expect big fantasy outburst on these Thursday night games. And I think a lot of people are sort of weary of a lot of the players tonight. But when you actually start to look at the numbers, you start to break it down a little bit, you know, it looks like there's some opportunity for some players to put some numbers up tonight.
I have AJ Green as my second best wide receiver on the week. So he's going to be a guy that week one went off. This week he goes off $8,500 on DraftKings tonight. I think you spend the money on him and fire away in tonight's matchup against the Dolphins, who are fifth worst to cover in wide receivers in the National Football League. Then you can take it the other way. Jarvis Landry, $6,900 on DraftKings. The Bengals are sixth worst. I think they're very good against the run, which Miami can't run the ball anyways. So if Jarvis Landry is healthy, I look for him to get 15, 18 targets in this game. And I like both wide receivers in this contest.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You look at Landry and the amount of targets. And, you know, one of my bets actually tonight, I'm betting on Tannehill over 22.5 completions, Tony. You look at the running back situation for the Miami Dolphins. They're going to be throwing the ball. In two of the three games, he's gone over 22.5 completions. The only one he did it was week one against Seattle, which was obviously a lower scoring game. But as far as Dolphins, he only threw for 206 yards last week. Before that, he was putting up pretty big numbers, only 11 DK points. Any interest in Dalton at all? We'll run through the positions here, Tony, and the players for people that want to play maybe a Thursday, Sunday lineup. But, you know, you have that unique situation with the London game. You can get the Colt players in and the Jag players in. That makes it real interesting.
Oh, absolutely, and I love T.Y. Hilton in that game for people out there. He's 7,000 on DraftKings. The top wide receiver is at 9,700. You saw what he did out of the slot, so Hilton's a guy you definitely got to not forget about. I like Dalton tonight. His price is cheap. The Dolphins are the sixth worst against the pass in the National Football League. They're third worst in allowing quarterback points to opposing teams. And secondly, the Dolphins' defensive backs are horrible. They're terrible. You look at that defensive line. They have good pass rush. They have like about 12 Pro Bowls on that Dolphins defensive line. But after that, there's nothing there defensively. I think Andy Dalton's a smart, cheap play tonight. If you tell me, you throw the salaries aside, I like Tannehill a little better. I think both are fantasy relevant.
Yeah, you know what? You look at Cody Kessler last week, 21-33 for 244 yards in his first NFL start. Guys were wide open. You're right. I think Dalton does get back on track. And as far as Tannehill's concerned, $5,800. We just had a guest on Howard Bender, and he's like, Tannehill sucks. He's a horrible quarterback. And we hear this over and over and over. I've said, it's like, you know, Tony, he's almost like the new Jay Cutler. You know, let's bash, you know, you got the gifts and Tannehill this and Tannehill that. Well, I don't know, man. Look, he's averaging 22.7 DK points per game. It ain't pretty, but at the end of the day, he does put up numbers.
He absolutely does. And for Howard Bender, of course, the Fantasy Lab, he lives in California, and I think he has a medical subscription. I wouldn't go by him, and maybe he's a little under the weather today. Absolutely, Ryan Tannehill's a guy that I like today, and he might have some buys. Is it Howard? You know, someday he'll get it right. Can't get him all right, Howard. Yeah. Wrong about, 100% wrong about. They throw the ball. It's all about opportunities, Gabe. It doesn't matter what the fantasy sport is. You know that. Yeah. 40 passing attempts tonight he's going to get, so he has to put up numbers. He's completing 64% of his passes. It just, whether he's good, bad NFL quarterback, doesn't matter. It's about opportunities in fantasy.
Miami Dolphins are giving up 147 yards a game on the ground, Tony, ranked 31st in the National Football League, yet it's always a unique situation with this two-headed monster running back situation. So, you know, Bernard's going to catch balls out of the field. Jeremy Hill runs for his 48 yards and a touchdown or two. I got Hill. I got him, you know, stuck from a Monday-Thursday contest. I'm hoping that tonight's one of these nights, like last week, that he punches two touchdowns in. What's your take on the running back situation? And any interest in Ajayi at $4,000? Gase is saying they're doing running back by committee.
Yeah, they're doing running back by committee. I have no interest in any Dolphin running back. And Ajayi at $4,000 actually is a little overpriced to me.
I agree.
Here's the bad news for you. I hope Jeremy Hill gets in the end zone too. And I need him to get in the end zone. I haven't won a season-long leagues. But tonight, I actually like Giovanni Bernard over him. I think the linebackers for the Miami Dolphins covering the backs out of the backfield is a big mismatch. That being said, I'm not going to play either of these Bengals running backs, but if you had a Jones for the game and you're watching the game and you want to get one of them in a PPR league, which is a point per reception at DraftKings, I'm going Bernard.
We already talked about A.J. Green and Jarvis Landry. Devontae Parker, I own him in one of my teams, man. It's a stress job, this guy. If he's on the field, he's going to make plays. I was a little disappointed because last week I actually stacked Tannehill and Parker. And, man, I thought I was a genius, Tony, after the first drive, huh? I'm like, oh, God, am I smart. Everyone mocked me, and, oh, Tannehill and Parker, you're an idiot. And I was like, oh, God, touchdown on the first. I'm going to do this. Give me another one. And then he only caught two more balls the rest of the game. He's only targeted five more times.
This guy's a freak, right? One week, he's out for the whole entire preseason. Then he comes back.
I know.
I mean, it's going to be hard to put a judge on him, and this is going to be a tough guy. He's a gamble each and every time, so that's why I don't feel comfortable playing him. I'll just pay the extra $1,500 and I'll get the guy, Jarvis Landry, that does it every week for this team.
I don't know if I've ever seen a barren as a wasteland as the tight end position tonight, Tony. I mean, dear God. Like, like you can't make an argument for any of these guys tonight. Really, what's your take on these guys tonight?
No, non-existent on the tight end position in this contest. We'll absolutely forget about it. In fact, you know what? We could have spent the last 30 seconds talking about kickers.
I know. All right, so how about this, Tony? I see a lot of, you know, we're getting to the time of the year already right now in the week four in which injuries starting to take their toll. No-name players, guys that people don't really know a lot about, are going to get touches and they're going to get starts. And you can get a lot of value if you think they're going to produce. So let me throw a couple of names at you and I'll get your takes on them. Jordan Howard.
Love Jordan Howard. Great matchup this week. $3,700 on DraftKings. You can start your rosters with him this week. And I hate the Bears situation. I don't think he's a great running back, but this is a situation where you get a guy so cheap, it'll touch the ball 15, 18 times.
I know. And in the same game, Zach Miller. I bet Zach Miller over 2.5 catches on Monday, Tony. Sunday night. One of the easier bets of cash. Hoyer likes Miller. Miller's $2,700. Your take on that? Because you can get the Henry guy if Gates is out. Yeah, I don't. You know, we don't know much about Henry, right? So I'd rather Miller than I know Hoyer's going to throw the ball to.
When you see a quarterback change and all of a sudden they lock onto a receiver, go with it. Don't be a guy that asks questions about it, especially when they're cheap. And that's what we've seen with Miller. The first week when Cutler was in, he had a pass block. He stayed in the pass block there. Then they let him on the pass pattern. He won a guy $1 million last week over at DraftKings in the fantasy millionaire maker. So throw him in your roster.
Yeah, Mikey on camera one was just at the break where I was asking about Terrence Williams.
Yes.
And, I said Cole Beasley. I mean, looking back at the preseason, Prescott really had that rapport. There's always the guys in practice, right? You know, if Prescott was getting the reps earlier in training camp when Romo was still there, he wasn't throwing to Dez. He was throwing to Cole, the Cole Beasleys of the world. He's got that rapport. How do you handle that game? It's funny. The odds makers think this is a trap for the Cowboys. Their line's only 2.5 right now. What's your take on this game what do you think wins? And I actually like Carlos Hyde in this game too, actually, Tony.
I like Carlos Hyde. I think he's really underrated fantasy-wise. We saw the two garbage time touchdowns, but he's going to touch the ball in this offense. They can't throw the ball at all. They do try to throw to the running back. So I like Hyde, and I like him each and every week. He would be in my lineup. Terrence Williams, I think, he's $3,100 on DraftKings. They do not throw the ball enough to justify putting him in your roster. But if you're playing in season-long leagues, pick him up. He could help you out if you have injuries to your wide receivers.
Yeah, what about it? We got to get out of here. You think Elliott has a big day against San Francisco?
Absolutely. I've got him in my lineup tonight. I think you saw how many carries he got. He got robbed by not getting the end zone. We cried a little as fantasy owners. I feel like they stole from us.
I know.
Jerry Jones makes it up to us this week.
I know. And you know what? Dallas really run the ball when they're on the road. Even when Romo was there, I like to milk the clock and run the ball. We got to get out of here. Thanks, Tony.
Hey, I'm going to have some chicken wings.
There's Tony. I thought they're steamed, right? Steamed only. Tony's off the diet already. All right, we're going to come back with our plays of the day. We've got a ton of picks for you. Last Thursday, we went all in on Georgia Tech and ended up ruining our entire weekend. I dug a hole and I couldn't get out. But I love the board tonight. Let's start off in the National Football League. We got the Bengals and the Dolphins. I don't love this game, all right? And I'm kind of forced to give you guys picks for every game, whether I love it or not. I don't love this game. I'm going to tease the Bengals to the over. I do like these props a lot, though. Let's go over 22.5 completions for Ryan Tannehill. Over 256.5 passing yards for Andy Dalton. Over 4.5 sacks. I think it's going to be a sack fest tonight. Long field goal, over 44.5 yards. I really like these college games, though, all right? We ain't forcing nothing. I don't see why the Houston Cougars just don't kick the snot out of UConn. We're going to lay the 17 in the first half. We're going to lay the 27.5 for the game. We're going to go over 49. We're going to lay 27.5 with Texas Tech. Hey, they score 61 points a game. They give up 40. But they score 61. We're going to go over 79, and we got the World Cup of Hockey wrapping up this evening. That is if Canada wins, which they should. I gave you the under in game one. These games are boring as hell. I was thinking maybe they open it up Europe because they know they're going to lose anyways, but probably not. It's probably going to be boring as hell again. Take the under at plus money. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.